A lot of stuff to go through here. Hello, hello, hello. Are we ready?
Hello, yes.
Hello, hello. Today or tonight or good morning, wherever you are, I want to talk about abuse. Abusive churches, abusive friendships, abusive whatever you want to call it. And I'm talking to the survivors because so many people don't talk to you about spiritual abuse and then they don't tell you how to get out of it. So I just kind of want to do a little bit of an overview because many people don't realize they're even being abused in some of these churches. And they also, it's not just the churches that are abusive, but also congregations can be very abusive.
Yes.
And people to each other can be very abusive. Yes. In churches. And it's almost like the church is a world into itself. And once you're in, it's like a little world. Do you know what I'm saying? And nobody wants to talk about what's going on. And first of all, I'm not attacking anyone or any certain anything, but we just have to talk about what's really going on. And people are sending me emails all the time of things they're going through. And maybe they'll confront a pastor or ask a pastor a question and they're asked to leave because it's listen and obey. And now that I've been in this stuff for 45, even maybe more years, there's a lot of things that I see as red flags. And I want to close this with red flags because if some of these things are happening, you need to, sometimes you just need to leave. And sometimes you need to leave quietly. And if it's an unhealthy place, maybe this is a workplace, there's no good way to leave.
No.
Because even though you try to leave quietly, if it's an abusive person, they will make it very hard for you and scandalize and all this. So you have to prepare sometimes when you have to leave a hard place. But the Bible is full of this, and we want to, first of all, I want to just address that Jesus always rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees, and they have not left. I mean, they never died and went away, but there's religious systems that are still here, the religious elite of the day. And he gives woe unto them. That's not a good word. Distress, grief. There's going to be problems down the road because when you abuse God's sheep, you will have to answer to God, right? But they tie up heavy, cumbersome burdens upon people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. We were talking to a girl yesterday, and she said, I haven't been in church for years, and she was going to go back to one I know now is definitely not the place to go. And I said, it's like a pyramid. And the people on top take advantage of the ones on the bottom. And I explained it more in depth and how this pastor just got a new plane. I think he's got six of them now. How many do you need, you know? And she said, wow. And I said, does that make sense to you? And she goes, absolutely. And it's hard to find churches now that are not in religious systems. So I always encourage people, like I've come out of these, and I like to share my testimonies on how I've come out because somebody's got to talk about it.
Yes.
With no agenda, just to heal people.
Yes.
That are hurting. And we're in a fallen world. People hurt each other. And it's like churches are like families. You have a lot of you probably don't even get along with your brothers and sisters very well. Because we are in a fallen world, and we all need Jesus. And then even though we're saved, we still sometimes don't act like it. People act like toddlers, babies. They don't know how to have a relationship, and they don't know how to endure. And it's just the world we're living in. We're going to a better one, but this is the fallen world. But there's a lot of Pharisees out there, and their agenda is money motivated, and they use people, and it's to better themselves. And that's not what Jesus came for. He didn't come to make Christianity popular.
Right.
So that everybody would go and be a part of it. And then when you listen to these preachers, they take certain scriptures and they twist them to fit their agenda. That's not what Jesus did. If he came today, he would not be allowed to preach in these churches.
That's right.
So there's a lot about the religion was not true worship, but rather it was rooted in pride, a prideful heart. The scribes and Pharisees emphasized the letter of the law, completely missing the spirit. And you don't see a lot of love.
No.
Now, everybody talks about love and unity, but if you come down to it, it's not the Bible kind of love.
No.
it's just let everybody do what they want to do with no boundaries. And then if you don't obey, it's called hate speech.
Right.
But there, Pharisees and Sadducees were more intent on spreading their religion. And they're still doing it. The Bible calls it the synagogue of Satan. Think about that. They say they are Jews, but they're not. Synagogue of Satan in Book of Revelations. But they're not really interested in telling the biblical truth. And they're actually, according to Jesus, blind guides leading the blind, mm-hmm. right? Their religion was external. Their hearts were not transformed. They were not changed from within. They were sepulchers, clean on the outside, but they had neglected the inside. And they were full of greed and selfishness. And that's what we see a lot of times. And people have been brainwashed to think they have to sit under these celebrity preachers and that that's God. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But he said the deadness inside of the tomb is likened to hypocrisy and wickedness. The inside of these religious leaders, again, their hearts were not right. They didn't lead people to the Lord. They actually made it hard to get to God. And that's with all these formulas and all the things you have to do. You have to say the right words. You have all these things you have to obey. Or if it doesn't work for you, it's your fault. And you didn't have enough faith. What a great line. You don't have enough faith. Some great woman just died of cancer, and I can't. It's one of these preachers' wives, and I'm wondering what they're going to say now, because what they preached didn't even work for them. Like I shared last week. So I'm not going to go into more of that, but I want to say some things. We need a warning, rebuke, and correction. Not everything is fine. Not everything is love and unity. In 1 Titus, verse 10, Titus is right behind 2 Timothy, right before Philemon in Hebrews. Okay, so verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers, and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. And why are they teaching it? For filthy lucre's sake. You cannot serve God and money at the same time.
Right.
You've got to serve one or the other. And if you serve money, your whole motive will be to use people for their money. And Jesus did not come for that. It says here, one of themselves, even a prophet, in verse 12 of their own, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, what are you supposed to do? Love them. Just love them. Rebuke them sharply.
Yeah.
Well, that's not love. That's not positive. He didn't come to bring a positive gospel.
No.
He said, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Rebuke is good. If you're going off the wrong path and somebody corrects you, you're supposed to praise them for that. Instead, if it's an unhealthy person, they'll give you a blot. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. Interesting. And commandments of men that turn from the truth. Verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God. They talk about God. They talk about being religious. But in works, they deny him. They don't have good fruits. Now, abusive churches are very image conscious.
Yes.
They are often performance oriented, with an us versus them or elitist mentality. We're in the ministry and you're just a lay person.
Right.
We're in the ministry, you're not. So it brings us, God's not into that. I mean, he said, I'm no respecter of persons. If you're in an abusive situation, and some of you are in abusive marriages, I understand that because a lot of you listen to my narcissism series. Questioning is often discouraged, forbidden, or branded as a sign of rebellion or a lack of spirituality, though this may not be said directly, but it's implied. Those who do not follow the rules may be labeled, shunned, shamed, removed from church positions, or even cast out of the fellowship. You may not be allowed to confront or question those in leadership as they are God's anointed. And they sure use that a lot.
Yep.
Let me tell you, being in leadership all these years with a lot of well-known, world-famous people, I was in that whole Word of Faith movement with them. They're just people. They put their pants on. They're not in the glory realm. Most of them have tremendous tempers. And I didn't like preachers myself. I'd try not to go out to... It's amazing how all they talk about is themselves and their ministries. Every once in a while, you'd find a true minister that was really humble. I'm thinking of someone right now. And boy, he was just such a blessing to be around because he talked about the Lord and not about himself. And he'd preach about the Lord and not about himself. I want to share, just starting here, a story of abuse, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's this woman, she told her husband one day, decided that something happened in church that morning, and he wanted to tell her. He said, our pastor belittled and intimidated the men he speculated had a problem with his recent trip. The pastor used the term poverty mindset to describe the thinking of any men who questioned or envied the spontaneous week-long motorcycle trip he and his wife enjoyed with other pastor couples through Nevada, California, and Oregon. The men hadn't said anything about the pastor's sabbatical trip, a trip paid for by the church. The pastor made sure they never would. And that's the thing. You have a poverty mindset. I heard this for years. If you look at prices on a menu, you have a poverty mindset.
Yeah.
Well, when they use the church checkbook to have all their meals, they don't care what it costs. But normal people, we look at prices and say, I'm not going to spend that. I want to buy this or I want to get that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But their whole mentality is because they're getting paid by all these, basically these, don't even get me started in this. It's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong to put people down and to try to bring them up to their level where if they had to work like a lot of these people did, they would do... Some of them don't have a degree in anything. And definitely not relationships. They don't know how to relate. They don't. All they do is, listen to my preaching. I don't have time for you. That's a sign. So anyway, this is a woman talking about her and her husband and her family. And this is what's really hard. When you raise your children in a church you thought was right, and you did everything, and you served, and you led. I'm getting so many emails from people that have been in these churches 20, 30 years. They did everything with their kids and all that, and then they closed their eyes to a lot of abuse that happened. Because there's going to be, all of us have, Mark and I were talking about that. We all have flaws. We're all a little weird. But I'm talking about abuse here. I'm talking about misuse. When you're misused, and it's not just one time, but it's a way of life in certain cultures. So her eyes were open to the culture of the church behind the scenes. Toxic leadership. And one of the ways you know it's bullying. Mm-hmm. Pastors that are bullies. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, and this is what's a problem, is if we had bad fathers, and we were bullied, you gravitate towards bullying pastors. If you've lived in abuse, it's amazing how, you know, you think that that's God and you're just kind of used to that. Healthy people come in and go, how can you stand that guy? How can you put up with that bullying from the pulpit? This is a big thing. So there's bullying, lack of transparency. If they get divorced, don't ask questions. It's none of your business. No accountability in any area. Fierce loyalty to the institution, the brand, and the leaders. And I'm talking fierce. To a point of where it's not normal.
Right.
You have to be here. This is what we were raised and we thought this was God. You have to be here every time. The church is Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special prayer. You know what? You don't have time for anything else.
Right.
Church becomes your whole life. Yeah. And then you are upset when people don't follow the rules. Come every service. We were raised that way. Now, this person had both of their parents were terminally ill while they were on staff, but they couldn't be honest about the strain of it. This is the other thing. I've saw when I was on staff with different things, people had problems, and because it was negative, they weren't allowed to talk about it, not particularly this this place where I was, but I went to this woman's meeting. You'd know her if I told you all, and she was very close. I was close to her for 15, 20 years, maybe. And I was always, you know, supporting and doing. I was always there. I was always working, serving, even though it was in a different state. But one time I was going through something, and I was talking to one of my friends that I knew was ministers there, and she approached me and she said, "You don't talk about your stuff. This is my meeting." And I just, and it was very abusive and very mean. And I just thought, wow, this is a narcissist where everything is about them. And you are not allowed to talk about anything they do not want you to talk about. That is not right. Now, I'm not talking about people that are always down and are always coming to attack. And, you know, that's the other side of the coin. We're not talking about people that really are, they need to be rebuked. Because abuse to some people is just a disagreement.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not abuse. We all disagree. People get offended. I mean, people get discouraged. That's life. And it's going to be life in the church. You're always going to have disagreements. You're always going to hear gossip. But these controlling leaders don't let you talk. You're not allowed to talk about anything. That is wrong.
Yeah.
You lose your voice.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was terminally ill. His parents were terminally ill while he was on staff, but he couldn't be honest about it. Broken. He said it made, if you were broken in any way, they made it hard because you had to be positive. An unspoken motto was, be sorrowful when absolutely necessary, but let it be short-lived and get back to the business of positivity.
Right.
So what happens? People aren't honest because they can't go to anybody for prayer even, because they always have to be on top and rising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these people are in good people. They don't want to cause division. They don't want to cause strife. I didn't talk to others about my concerns, but I prayed for our church leaders. I didn't tell her, she didn't tell her husband because she didn't want to be wrong. She didn't want to cause division. And it was the first church they served together as a family. And she didn't want to have a critical spirit. She was afraid to dishonor any of its leaders. And there's so many good people in these churches that love God. There are so many people that just want to go with the flow and they don't know how to deal with issues because they are not allowed to talk. There's no one they can go to. And if they do go to someone, they're cast out.
Yeah.
Well, you are criticizing our anointed one, so you need to leave. Now, you need to share this with people that are going through this because it's happening worldwide, what I'm talking about. It's happening worldwide because I'm dealing with a lot of leaders that tell me they've served faithfully, but and they've had a blind eye to a lot of things, but enough is enough.
Yeah.
There comes a point where you have to say, I can't ignore this anymore.
Yeah.
And if the leader won't receive correction, if he's always right and I'm always the problem, that's what they do. When you point out a problem,
yeah,
you become the problem.
Yeah.
That's not good. That is not good. Offenders are reprimanded, shamed, and removed from leadership or serving because, you know, you brought up a problem. That's not healthy. That's one thing I like about teams is that in a team ministry, if you're honest and transparent, other people can see stuff you can't see. And then if you bring it up and you can figure out how to solve it, not just to erase it and not to pretend it's not there. And a lot of leaders don't want to fix things. They just want to have their way and then all these people are hurting underneath. And what happens, it becomes a multi-level marketing scheme. A lot of churches, that's what, not the one I attended, but there are a lot of multi-level marketing schemes of how they run their business model.
Yeah.
And this group was trying to get some things done, and they started to complain because there wasn't enough paint, there wasn't enough things, and they wanted to go home to their families and enjoy the holidays. And someone overheard them and reported them to a leader that they were complaining. They weren't complaining. They were just trying to get, you know, the equipment they needed, the stuff for the project, and it was reported. And then they all got in trouble. They were asked to, if it ever happened again, they were told the women would be expelled immediately from leadership. You can't bring up issues, is what I'm trying to say. And no matter what ministry you're in, the music ministry, the children's or whatever, there's got to be people you can talk to resolve things. Right. Because we're people and we're going to have conflicting ideas and we have different personalities. Some people don't know how to say no. Some people don't know how to stand up for themselves. And other people are bullies. They just take over. Right. You're going to deal with all kinds of people in churches and business and families because that's just the world we live in. With her testimony, she thought she left on good terms because there were so many red flags, but we left the way we were taught to leave, go quietly. We found out there's no good way to leave an unhealthy church. No matter what you do, you're gonna be the bad person. And it's sad because with my situation and through the many years, I was abused by not only board members, we're not going to get into that story, but by, many years ago, they make you keep controlling people till you can't tell their secrets. Now, you're not one that wants to go and tell people secrets, but when this one particular person, she had cancer, and I didn't say anything. I mean, that's private. You don't need to say it, but it got to a point of abuse where so many things happened, and I wasn't even allowed to tell my husband. And it was like, it gets to the point of where they want you to lie. That's too far to tell. And then the other situation, this person was doing X-rated stuff on the computers, and I found out about it late. And then instead of firing the person, I was the accountability person on all these X-rated things. That freaked me out. I didn't know I'm not supposed to be an accountability person for a guy. I'm a woman. I shouldn't be.
Right.
I'm just saying these weird things happen. And now I just say, forget it. Bye. But then I would always try to help to the point of I was always going to help fix them. I don't know if a lot of you people are that way, but I would hang on too long.
Yes.
When they decide they want to go another way, there's nothing you can do to fix them. And it was very abusive how they dealt with mental issues. Telling them they're healed and they're not. People had nowhere to go. Chronic illnesses or marital issues that are problems. If you bring up some of those things to churches, they just tell you to pray more and read your Bible more. You're not spiritual. That is not how you deal with problems in churches. You try to get them help if they can. If you can, and that is really an easy way out because people are praying and they are reading their Bible and they still have problems.
Right.
So beware of spiritual abuse. Congregations, again, can abuse their leaders, and leaders can abuse congregations, and people in the church can abuse each other. And this happens a lot, but you have to know what abuse is. And just say, I'm not going to be abused. You have to stand up. Sometimes you have to say something.
Yes.
Abuse is misuse that causes mental and emotional harm. Abuse may be unreasonable demands. You can serve in a church, but if it's unreasonable, you have to be here all the time and you don't see your wife and your kid. That's unreasonable demands. It's control and it moves into manipulation and shaming. Inability to ask questions. I've dealt with so many people. They said, can we meet with you and ask a question? I'm like, why wouldn't you be able to ask me a question? Because the last place they were at, they were not allowed to ask questions. They want perverted loyalty. The abuser has you listen and you obey. Rule. And if you don't listen and obey, you're going to be cut off and isolated. Or you're a demon. You're demonized. In Psalms 147, verse 3, he healeth the brokenhearted and he bindeth up their wounds. If you're in a healthy relationship, you have healthy friends, you help each other.
Yes.
You can let someone vent. Now, if you're a venter all the time, then you have a problem.
Yes.
But there's times we all have to vent and you need a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
And that's healthy. And then you help each other through those hard times. Some people, if you're not positive, was it we were talking to somebody, they said, well, I wasn't positive. They don't want to be my friend anymore. It's like, seriously? They're going through a hard time. and this is a season. It's not their whole life. It's a season. And you have to learn to be there for people when they're going through seasons. And many abusers teach false stuff, and that's how they control people, through their teaching. They twist the scriptures. Again, just because you had a disagreement with someone, don't be labeling them as an abuser. I'm talking about really abuse, not just you had a disagreement and now they're upset and you're upset. Those kind of things happen daily in churches. I mean, that is not abuse. Real abuse often leads to fear, anxiety. This is the fruit of abuse. Isolation, where the leader will say, nobody can talk to this person. They've been ousted. They're bad. And really, they might know something they don't want. Yeah. They don't want told. Dealt with that over and over. Some people walk away from their faith altogether because of being in unhealthy relationships. We're supposed to correct, not oppress. We're supposed to lead and uplift, correct and rebuke. So there are times for all of that, but not to oppress people and drive them. Yeah. Not to force them. He's given us a will. We're supposed to choose. And with leadership and different things, I mean, I would go to meetings and I had to be there every single time with some of these women's meetings I was a part of. And if I wasn't there, oh boy, they'd just make a big stink. And some of them, I paid to go there. If I want to go out and do something else in the afternoon, I'm going to do it. And boy, did you get the stink eye when you got back. There are wolves among us, false teachers and preachers, and some people that just never grew emotionally. And they're toddlers. They're stunted in their emotional development. And the wolf's job is to devour you and wound you in action. The devil wants you so wounded you'll never serve the Lord again. And we're going to have to say, devil, that's not going to work. Yeah, I've been wounded. Yes, people have hurt me, but I still love the Lord. And I'm still going to love people. And I'm still going to do whatever God tells me to do with people. And that's our attitude. We're not going to let the bitterness come in, unforgiveness come in, write a book about all these people and say how bad they are. What do? We learn from it. Yeah. We learn from it. It's a lesson learned, and we become more perfected. In 1 Peter, we're going to read that in the end here. Spiritual abuse is using the Bible or your position of a leader to influence others for personal gain. We are not in the ministry for personal gain. I got so tired, and we did have a big church, but I was so tired of the pressure to do this and that, and you have to do this and that. And that's why to this day, I don't even advertise. We don't advertise what we're doing online and stuff. I just can't do it. It's just there's so much propaganda and political stuff that goes into all this. It's just, just preach the word. Lord, you let people that want to hear it. If they want to support us, let them support us. I'm not going to do any drives for nothing. If they hear your voice, Lord, thank you for helping us. And there are some out there, I tell you, I don't know what we had to do without you because you're helping us keep going. But in healthy churches, the pastor begins to take place of Jesus. And this was the shepherding movement back in I think it was in the 80s. A lot of these preachers, you'd have to go to them and say, yeah, you can marry this guy, you can't. I mean, they got way too involved. They called it the shepherding movement. And then these leaders would tell you what God said. As if the leaders could hear God, but you couldn't. And that's not true. The Bible says if you're your sheep, you know his voice. And the voice of a stranger, amen, you will not follow. You have the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. You don't have to go through someone and confess your sins and go into this telling the priest all your sins and stuff. You don't have to do that. That's religion. Yeah. You have a Savior, and you can go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Yeah, right. And guess what? He's not a gossip. Right. You go tell some of these people, and boy, your business is all over town. Mm-hmm. And some of these leaders, if they don't like you, they curse you on the way out. God will not bless you if you leave here. Red flag. See ya. Can you handle a little more? A healthy church will not allow pastoral concerns to cross the line into manipulation and control, especially dealing with staff people. It's not a pastor's job to control the staff on what they do in their personal lives.
Right.
Any and all questions are considered threats to an insecure pastor that demands that you submit to him. And you're called rebellious and asked to leave or step down. They just can't stand it if you have questions that contradict what they're... And some of them don't know their Bible very well, and they're just preaching another man's sermons. They're reading another man's book.
Mm-hmm.
And people have questions. Why are you only preach this and you don't preach that? We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, leaders operating under a spirit of control are convinced they are the only ones that can hear from God. That is not true. Again, don't underestimate the Holy Spirit in your life, right? Do not allow any leader to think for you and place them as a God in your life. And don't be listening to celebrity preachers. That's all I'll say. Controlling leaders manipulate and guilt people into giving more than they want to. I'd come to these meetings and they would go on and on and on, especially leaders meetings, pastors meetings. This pastor's going to give 1,000. How many? Come up here and sit. Talk about manipulation. I just sit there and say, hey, I was going to give, but now I'm not. I can get stubborn like that. You're not going to force me to give something, because the more they go on and on and on, the Holy Spirit inside you gets grieved.
Yeah.
You're supposed to give as joyful and do it as unto the Lord, and you shouldn't be manipulated and controlled or shamed ever. Controlling leaders manipulate and guilt people into giving more than they wanted to. Now I want to say for a second here what spiritual abuse is not. Okay? It is not being hurt by the church. Because many of us have been hurt by the church. That doesn't necessarily mean it's spiritual abuse. All churches are made up of sinners who need a Savior, and even though they're saved, they have no fruit. Very few people were raised as Christians, and they don't know how to act. They don't know how to handle. If you didn't have a mom, many times, you don't know how to deal with your emotions properly. You never got to sit down and deal with stuff and talk things. That's why God gave you a mother and a father. The father teaches you some things. And the woman is the wife, and the mother is emotional. And if you missed out on that, a lot of times you don't understand how to deal with relationships right. All churches are made up of sinners who need a Savior. And all churches will have gossip, disagreements. You're going to have people with short tempers that are immature. They haven't learned the self-control. And there's going to be misunderstandings. That doesn't mean it's spiritual abuse. It means we're carnal. We have a flesh, and we haven't died to it. But in all churches, hurt people hurt people. If you're hurt, you don't even probably know how many people you've hurt. You didn't mean to hurt them, but because you were hurt, you said stuff you shouldn't have said. And so much gossip goes on that is not true, but you were hurt when you said it. And maybe you reconciled, but all that stuff you said is still out there, right? But being bullied, and manipulated and controlled is spiritual abuse. That is another story. No one has given you the right to bully another person with your words, to intimidate them, to feel good about yourself. No, the Bible says by our words we're going to be justified and by our words we're going to be condemned. We're going to have to stand before God how we treat people. Spiritual abuse is using religion, God, the Bible, or some spiritual practice to harm someone and steal their voice, to gaslight. I have a message on gaslighting if you don't know what that is. Manipulate, threaten, and then you isolate people. Nobody can go see this person. I was thinking about someone that committed suicide many, many years ago, and the pastor got up and said, no one is allowed to go to that funeral. They have no right to tell people what to do or not to do. Using the Bible to shame, force attendance, and give it all Sundays. You have to give it all. You have to give everything. People are telling me different stories from the churches they came from. I couldn't believe it. Abuse causes, what does it do? It causes trauma, causes anxiety. you don't want to miss God. You don't. You want to obey the leader, but boy, he's kind of going against your conscience.
Right.
It causes mental suffering, especially when you're betrayed in a leadership position, and betrayal happens, and it will in situations where there's more than two people. If there's more than one person, there's going to be trouble, because we don't all see the same. But abuse is misusing your authority. You're overstepping your authority. It's not God-given now. It's the flesh. It's insecurities. It's trying to intimidate people, get them to do what you want. It's manipulating people. And then becoming legalistic, mind-controlling, or dominated through fear tactics. And that's what they're doing right now, not in the churches, but in the world. They're using fear tactics to control people to do what they want them to do. To bring in their new system and their new order, we're going to see part two coming into play. Actually, I'm hearing it in other countries right now. It's all starting to be activated again. All these different things, fear tactics that are being used to bring in their new systems, their new goals, their new agendas. And it's sad because many of you know I've talked about these agendas before. But they're really pushing now. The water is going to start being regulated.
Yeah.
People are telling me that they're getting notes that they're spending too much electricity. All this stuff is the new system. And boy, we never thought it would be happening so fast. But what's bad about spiritual abuse, and if it's in your marriage or it's wherever it is, it hurts people. And God doesn't want people hurt. It leaves you confused, isolated, and depressed. Don't let the sin of others weaken your faith in God and His Word. Even though you've been abused in some of these churches or a marriage or by your children. I mean, children are rising up now with a spirit of rebellion, and they don't want anything to do with their parents or what their parents taught them. Don't let it weaken your faith in the Lord, because everybody has a choice. Everyone has a will, and we can't control. God couldn't control Adam and Eve and what they did. So in 1 Peter 5, I want to just kind of end with some of this here. 1 Peter 5:10. What can God do with all this mess? So you've been through all this stuff, and you've been hurt, and God's using it. The devil will tell you that you're done, you're over, but if you keep walking with the Lord, He will use everything you've been through.
Yeah.
He said, the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory. We're going to eternity.
Amen.
By Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. You're going to suffer in this world.
Absolutely.
And the false churches say there is no suffering. There is no sickness and disease. If they're going to bring heaven to earth. Well, not now. That's kingdom now teaching. He said that His kingdom will come.
Right.
He said, my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom He had, there's not going to be a devil. He's still here. The devil is here in the world, right? 2 Corinthians 4:4. But we're going to suffer. And so what does God want us to do? Keep walking with Him.
Yes.
Keep talking to Him.
Yes.
You've been taught all this bad stuff. Get back to what the Bible says.
Yes.
Stay simple. Stay childlike. Stay
yes.
trusting.
Yes.
Keep it simple. After you have suffered a while, and the Greek means you've endured evils. The key is you endure it. You go through it.
Mm-hmm.
You go through it. Hardships and trouble. After you have suffered evils, hardships and trouble, what's it going to do? It's going to make you perfect. It's going to establish you and strengthen you, and it's going to settle you. Because we've been through so much, a lot of the things that are happening, you're settled.
Mm-hmm.
You're not moved.
Yeah, true.
And some of the things I've learned, people go, well, why would I even want to know that? Why do I want to know what's coming? Because you can say no to it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be deceived by it. You're going to be able to see the devil, see what he's trying to do,
yeah.
and you're not going to take and do what he wants you to do, because you've been aware, because you had people teach you what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to settle you. I know this is coming, but I know this isn't of God. I know this is the new system that's being placed, and I'm settled. Doesn't mean you can stop it, but you're settled because the Lord has shown you. Some people do not want to hear anything, and I feel sorry for you. You're the ones that are going to be unsettled. I don't want to hear anything negative. Well, guess what? Negativity is happening in the world. And the reason why I could see it in the world is because I saw it in church. I saw the deception in a lot of churches, and I'm like, I can see it in the government now. Why? Because Satan is a liar.
Yes.
And he's a murderer. He loves to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
Right? I don't care if it's churches, government, politics, or whatever. He's still the devil. And lastly, I just want to give you a few red flags about spiritual abuse, and it's only, we're just touching the iceberg. Spiritual abusive leaders twist the truth to make themselves look good. If you're going to a church where all the, I was so tired of this one woman friend I had, everything she did was she preach about herself every sermon. Can you preach something different? I've heard that story over and over and over about you. Spiritual abusive leaders demand respect instead of earning it. Oh, don't say hi to her on staff. How did you get close to her? Oh, we can't talk. You can't talk to her. They're not gods. Spiritual abusive leaders betray your confidence and share information with others.
Yes.
Spiritual abusive leaders don't allow themselves to be held accountable or corrected. Spiritual abusive leaders demand to be served. One person that would come to my house all the time wanted a list of stuff that I had to make, and not me, but I'd have people bring soups and meat, all this stuff, and she'd never eat any of it. And she demanded someone come that made cappuccinos and all this and that. It was just, when they left, I was so exhausted after a week. I was just like drained because they didn't want any of the food that was requested and demanded. They didn't even eat it. They wanted to go out and eat all the time. So why do all that? Why put other people through all that? But they demand to be served. Spiritual abusive leaders have their minions do their dirty work and isolate, intimidate, manipulate those who don't comply. Yes, men.
Mm-hmm.
Flying monkeys if you're in the narcissistic mode. And more leaders are narcissistic. Okay, I think this is about it. Spiritual abusive leaders surround themselves with only people who praise them, flatter them, fear them, or submit to them. Spiritually abusive leaders don't help you overcome sin in your life, but discard you if you have it because they don't know how to help you work through it. They discard you. And this one preacher said, you better all get some new cars in the parking lot because you make me look bad. Since when does having new car make the leader look good? And that's what a lot of people, they're in debt because they want that image.
Yes.
That we're prosperous. And they're in debt at a higher level. Use the money God's given you. Put yourself on a budget. Don't go over it for anybody. Give what you want to give. Don't make anybody force you to give. Do what the Lord tells you to do. There's freedom in the Lord.
Yes.
And you don't have to live under spiritual abuse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I hope this helps somebody. Many of us have come through this, and we're still here. We're settled. We see now we're not going to go under that again. We're not going to deny. When the Holy Spirit tells us something's wrong, we're going to listen to his voice. But we thank you, Father, we forgive. We forgive and release those people into your hands. And we thank you that we can move on in a healthy way. We thank you for friendships that are of you and friendships that are abusive. We just have to let go of. There's some people in our life that we know shouldn't be there. Because they're too demanding, they're too mean, they're bullies. And we just make ourselves less available to them. Give us wisdom on all these things, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Everyone said?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.